You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 100 days. That's how long it is until we get the 2025 NFL season going and your Texans go again in their attempt to make some noise. I was about to say, I don't even know. What are we setting as the goal? What is the standard for this Texas team? We got time to get there.
The standard is the standard.
That is true.
I hate that expression.
That is true. That is objectively so true. I think Futurama
they
will
all
tell
say
you
that? Oh.
that is technically correct, which is indeed the best kind of correct.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever it is, you got 100 days as you move towards when that thing starts. OTAs will help. It will be another step towards that. That begins tomorrow for your Houston Texans. You'll hear from D'Amico Ryans and some players tomorrow. But Jeremy Fowler of ESPN put together things to know and predictions for this 100, as we're 100 days out from the 2025 season. And he begins with 10 names that you need to know that will be big deals in the 2025 season. A few of the names that he mentions, a couple of Packers, linebacker Edrin Cooper, for the Packers, center Elton Jenkins there, some other people, Al Golden, who's the defensive coordinator for the Bengals, Keely Ringo, cornerback for the Eagles, R.J. Harvey, the running back that was drafted out of UCF for the Broncos. But one of the names that he mentions for your Houston Texans, Nick Caley, offensive coordinator for the Texans. And I begin a segment I like to call reading. He says, quote, "I'm hesitant, always hesitant, rather, about later branches plucked off of coaching trees. The first few seasons... or rather, first few Sean McVay assistants probably have the goods, but the fourth, fifth, and sixth options were probably in the back of the line for a reason. But Caley, who spent the past 2 years in the McVay incubator, was a longtime offensive coach for the Patriots before joining the Rams, as we know. So he isn't really a continuing chip off of a chip of the old block. No offense was held back more by coaching errors last season than Houston's unit, which, yeah, obviously. If Caley is even league average as a year one play caller, expect the Texans to finally deliver on their 2024 preseason hype."
I think anybody who looks at this team would agree, whether you're local, close to the team, or an outsider or full-time NFL writer like this. It was very, very obvious. It was that obvious that there was just a disconnect. There was some personnel issues. There were some scheme issues. There were some frustrations. And it sounds almost like a backhanded compliment. And man, if he's just league average, you know, it can't be worse. But there is something to that. I think there is something to that. If he is just league average, look what they did below average.
No, absolutely. You know? I mean, they were able to go into the second round of the NFL playoffs behind that. They still won their division with all of that dysfunction. And a lot of that is because the defense is incredible. So, yeah, if you find a level league average, the question I just continue to have is, is that the standard, right? The idea of just being league average or what have you. And then also what you have done, like, I don't know that you've pushed yourself forward in that regard, but yeah, I think you are right. If he is league average, there is still the big question of league average means that half of the people are below that level. And I don't know that you could say for certain that he is that, because I don't know that we know what he is coming in with and what experience he has, or I mean, what he's going to bring without the level of experience. I'm hopeful, right? Mm-hmm. Again, because also half the people are above that. But usually guys that are getting this opportunity have had some level of experience to some degree. So excited to see what Nick Caley brings, I think, more than anything.
I don't think it's anything close to what they want the standard to be.
No.
But if that's the first step, I think you're going to be in business.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I guess to be fair also, I imagine that we would have, going back 2 years, we would have felt that bringing in a Bobby Slowick would have been at least league average or better. Mm-hmm. And it ultimately did not necessarily pan out to be that over his 2 years. So, but he is one of the names that Jeremy Fowler puts up as a need to know proposition. Mm-hmm. For like how much impact do you think Nick Haley has, like, on a league level? Like, do you think that him coming in and being good would take the Texans from being kind of an also ran in the playoffs to
contender?
He could push them into contender space where they're sitting along with all those teams in the AFC, right?
Yeah, no, I think that might be really what their realistic standard is. Like, hey, let's just get marginally better this year with players that we see start to, I'm talking about offensively, mm-hmm. and the offensive line, with players that we can start to see some things, you know, that they're going to be, there's some good things in their future. Realistically, I don't know how much more they can ask for that. Now, they have a higher standard ultimately, but I think that's where they're going
to
start.
Is that best case scenario, maybe this is wild to kind of put it this way, is that best case scenario to then have him be like a league, let's say league average play caller to the point where you might not have him poached from you?
Ooh, no.
And then you have a second year, or you'd rather him just come in and immediately be an incredible
be
play caller?
Yeah, because that means that you're probably making a deep run into the postseason and the offense is really clicking.
Somebody said, so Nick Haley was on the Pats when Belichick decided to give Judge and Matt Patricia offensive coordinator positions.
I hadn't heard it put like that.
I mean, that's one of those things. I know that Seth has talked about it and Sean has talked about it a good amount. And that's one of those things that you can't really, I don't know what to do with, because to some degree, Belichick was losing his fastball there. Mm-hmm. It sounds wild to kind of put it that way, but you were starting to see the signs of decline from him mm-hmm. In talent acquisition is one of the clear ones. I think that you had fewer of the things that make Bill Belichick an incredible offensive coach, or a coach rather in general, which is finding the places in which the league was zigging and zagging from that. It felt like he wasn't creating as many of those specific kind of, I don't know, advantages. At the same time, I don't know how I speak to that specifically. Maybe there was a level of politics that was happening there that I can't speak to. But yeah, that is a fair thing to bring up.
It is 100% politics, because Bill Belichick trusted those guys probably more than Nick mm-hmm. Haley at the moment, because they were coordinators at some point.
And Nick Haley went and got more seasoning for two more years with the Rams as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that's what it is. Should I elevate this tight ends coach or Matt Patricia, who I trust and has been, you know, good?
And at that time, a very young tight ends coach.
Yes, exactly.
Right. All right. Some other things in the things that you need to know for the 100 days before you get to the 2025 season. Interesting schedule features are some of the ones that he's throwing up here. Obviously, games in the schedule that's coming up. A few AFC South teams pop up here, including your Texans, and it is a matchup versus the Jaguars that comes in here. Fowler writes, I didn't realize that. Didn't realize this until the Jaguars reporter Michael DiRocco wrote a note about the Texans and the Jaguars not playing since the Zeez Al-Shaair hit on Trevor Lawrence, right? That I don't like what he put here, though, if I could press pause, where he says the hit that ended Trevor Lawrence's season, as if his season was not ended by a shoulder injury that he was dealing with before that hit.
Yeah.
Right? Are we all forgetting that? Are we all forgetting the fact that he was dealing with a shoulder injury and that he might not have probably been needed to play anyways before that? Okay, fine. Press play. An insider bench clearing brawl, which that it definitely did. They play in week 3. Expect some pregame shenanigans and first drive tone setting. Like, are you in that place where you think that this gets contentious in that game week 3 on the road?
I don't know how contentious, but a little contentious. I think it's going to be mentioned. I think players are going to understand, you know, now maybe not over the top, like people, you know, getting thrown out of the game or whatever. Well, but you can guarantee division game with that still fresh, well, relatively fresh on their minds as the last time they saw each other. Yeah, there's going to be some mention of that.
Who are the suspects that you point out as possibly making a little noise here?
Well, from the Jaguars, hard to say. Texans.
I mean, you still got Scherf is still there, right? Like, he was one of those guys.
Oh, that's right. I can see some of the offensive linemen making some noise. I don't know if Aziz, I don't know if
he doesn't seem like that dude.
He don't seem like that tight. Like,
but he's a different cat on the field.
Yeah, and if they get in his face about it,
I get that. But I don't think he's like a James Harrison or something.
He'll defend his honor. So I feel like you end up with Brandon Scherf over here trying to say something to him. He'll talk back.
He turns into a maniac on the field, and he's a hell of a guy off the field. Yeah. I could see where, you know, in the course of the game, maybe something.
Do you think he got that weak circle? Like, oh yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know who would be like before the game, the shenanigans, as he put it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who are the,
somebody on the Texans?
This is a question that I have, because he wasn't even on the team could it be possible that CJGJ is so down for the cause that he comes out and does this?
Of course.
Right? Like, because
it was a national story.
I could see him just being a dude where he's like, nah, this is my team now, and I want y'all to know this. Don't talk crazy to my boys.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what I was thinking. That's absolutely the answer. And I mean, the entire league, it was headlines for, what, 2 weeks?
It was.
Yeah.
It went on much longer than it felt like it should have.
Yeah,
that's one of the ones. Some other things that have come up here. Jobs with question marks. 11 jobs is the ones that he threw up here, including, mind you, Panthers quarterback Bryce Young and Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel. Mm-hmm. Any of those interest you here when it comes to, like, jobs with question marks?
I think Mike McDaniel.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. There have been some high hopes there. They've made a lot of moves. They
put a lot into that offense, man.
They put a lot into it. But the crazy thing is, it feels like the offense has worked up until it doesn't.
It just fall flat in the playoffs, man.
Yeah. And really, they fall flat enough in the regular season where you're just like, they're not going to get there.
Like, they don't get like
a lot
the cream
of injury
of the crop.
And stuff, too, with the quarterback. But, man, they still haven't won a playoff. Remember that crazy stat? Haven't won a playoff game since, what, 99 or something like that? Mm-hmm. Like 25 straight years without a playoff win. Mm-hmm.
And what's funny is you look at the AFC East, and I don't know that anybody's looking at the Dolphins like, yeah, they got an opportunity, which would be a failure in what they've been over the last few years. So I guess you're fair in that regard. One of the jobs with question marks, Texans wide receiver 2, they say. Entering last season, Texans target hierarchy was clear. Nico, Tank, then Stephon Diggs, then Dalton Schultz. First of all, before I move forward, do you agree with that kind of hierarchy going into last year?
I think that's what it ended up at the beginning of the season. Remember, at the very beginning,
Nico, Tank, and then
we thought Stephon was the number 2, and he ended up playing better as the season started. But I think people had high. Let's not forget the hopes we had on Tank Dell. 1,000-yard season, and remember that's a conversation.
And it got really uncomfortable early on when it felt like they were not getting Tank Dell involved.
I felt like we thought Stephon could possibly be like that number 1 because remember Nico just got paid, and I ain't think he was gonna do what he did this year like that.
But that changed early on.
That changed early on. It was like, okay, Nico number 1, ain't even no discussion.
All right, so the going into the battle, he talks about the idea. There's 2 open battles. Texans drafted 2 rookies from Iowa State, Jaden Higgins, Jalen Noel. We know both these guys. He says they'll compete with Christian Kirk for a suddenly large pile of targets. How do you view this particular, because it feels like we've talked about this in a way where you're given is Christian Kirk is a starter along with Nico Collins, and the competition, which we haven't really made much of one of, is Jaden Higgins just in that spot and who wants to try and take it from him. This is kind of a national perspective looking at it as Nico Collins the only given, and Jalen Noel has just as much of a grabbing right to Higgins to some of the stuff here as also Kirk has, rather, to some of the offensive snaps here.
See, I think this is one instance when maybe you're as plugged in as these guys are, these national guys, I think this is where you might be a little bit too far away to recognize. It's Nico Collins, Jaden Higgins, Christian Kirk, period, until further notice. I mean, what they thought of him, and we've talked about, they could have drafted a guy that they wanted to move up for there, but they went with Jaden Higgins. They really, really liked Higgins. He's going to be plugged in until he proves otherwise. And then Christian Kirk, you're not going to bring him in unless you're plugging him in.
Yeah, I think so. And then finally, the last thing he mentions the Texans on is just kind of some intrusive thoughts. And the intrusive thought that he throws out here for the Texans is the Texans have made consecutive AFC divisional rounds. We don't talk about them like we talk about the Ravens or the Bills. I think that's wrong. Texans defense can get burned in its aggressive style, but over the past 2 seasons, it's shown up in key postseason moments and against top opponents more often than not. Texas offense disappointed last year, but the potential for an immediate bounce back is there under a new coaching staff. ESPN Bet has the Texans with the 6th best odds to win the AFC. They're behind the Bengals and the Chargers, which doesn't reflect the reality of those 3 teams over the few seasons. He says he's buying Houston.
So this is an interesting one to me because he says he thinks it's wrong. That they're not mentioned in the same breath as the Ravens or Bills. No, that's not wrong. Let's be fair.
As far teams or the defense?
As teams. Okay. They haven't. I mean, what have they done? You know, when it comes to the Bills and the Ravens in terms of what they've done, and obviously the Chiefs. So I think he's incorrect on that, but he's absolutely correct. I would put him ahead of
the Bengals and the Chargers. Both the Bengals and the Chargers.
I would
here.
Put him ahead of Bengals.
I feel comfortable putting him above the Chargers for sure. Yeah. The Bengals is an interesting proposition. Their defense is a real problem. Mm-hmm. They need to show and prove that they have some level of fix there. But the offense is such a banger there that it's interesting to me. But yeah, the Texans, I think they have to show and prove because you're right. I wouldn't put them amongst the Ravens or the Bills in that space because they've shown improved on both sides of the football. Even when they've had questions, they've answered those, and the Texans still need to show improved offense.
Yeah, I would say they're in a tier with the Chargers and the Bengals to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, I don't know what tier you want to call that, the second tier, third tier.
Yeah.
But whatever tier that is, I put them in there.
Yeah, so those are some of the things that, I guess, from a national perspective, we could circle back to some more of these other kind of thoughts that Fowler has about the season as we get ready towards the season. 100 days, and it'll be 99 days when the Texans open OTAs tomorrow. D'Amico Ryans and some players will talk, but it seems like we're getting closer to understanding a little bit more about this team, what the offensive line might be, and also just getting the feel for what it looks like once you get to September and we're playing real-life bona fide football. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, this is typically the time where we hand things over to Fig for the mixtape. Figgy before, sorry, I got up in the air and I forgot to read this text. Somebody said, I can see Joe Mixon starting some noise at the beginning of the game. And that is a good one for the Jaguars game.
Mm-hmm. Like, I can see that.
Because he was here. Mixon views himself as
still
a leader.
Gardner Johnson.
All right, fair enough. All right, Figgy, what you got for us in the mixtape?
Yeah, so I got an update on the whole prison break that happened in New Orleans. Yeah, man.
My guy.
We're going to find out where your guy is. we're going to break down some bars from a legendary battle, and I'm going to bring Seth Payne on the show.
Hey!
Yeah, we used to do this back in the day, so we're going to kind of recreate that, and I want to see how you feel about this. And I think you need to rebrand, Lopez.
I need to rebrand?
I think so, man. I think OG might be a little outdated for
you. Oh, okay. Wow. All right. So we're going to get Seth on wraps. Let's do that and more next.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is Figgy Smith's tape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there. Real quick before I get started, I want to give a special shout out to the guys that was filling in for us yesterday. We had Chris Partee and Luke Morrow filling in.
Fellas.
And Colin, producer Colin, he actually did the mixtape yesterday.
Get out.
Yeah, I tapped in. He brought the show in and everything, man. And as a producer, that's some big shoes to fill in. Not just meat. Filling in for me, but just doing something.
How
like,
big are the shoes that he needs?
No, seriously,
man, he can't even beat. Because I'm so dope, bro. It's hard to follow.
No, seriously, because
you're right.
Because back in the day when I was filling in the loop as a producer, our old producer Chris Jones used to do What's Trending. Remember that?
Yeah.
And he used to do that. But whenever I filled in, I'm like, I'm not doing that. I don't know what to talk about during that because he bring up all type of random news. I'm like, man, I don't know what's interesting.
Yeah.
So salute to him for doing that, man. That take a lot.
I missed that.
For somebody to do that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man. So here's an update on the OPP, as they like to say, Orleans Parish Prison Update.
That is not what I've come to learn OPP means.
Yeah, you know me.
Come on, Linton Van Buren. Come on, Linton Van Buren.
So three more has
the
been.
President?
So three more has been captured. Lopez guy, Linton Van Buren, has been captured.
Another guy
by the name of Jermaine Donald and Leo Tate has been caught as well.
So we're up to eight?
So we up to eight. We got two more still on the loose. So our guy, Reggie, our guy still out there. His name is, what's
Derek
his name?
Derek Groves?
Yeah, Derek Groves. He's still on the loose. And then the guy that we thought was going to be out from the beginning, Antoine Massey.
Face tat.
Yep. he's still out, and apparently he was the brains behind the operation.
Oh, wow. See, if we had known that, I'd have put him higher, because clearly he had plans. He was like, look, this is what we do and this is what we don't do.
Yeah, so I thought he was going to be the first one out, but he's still out there. And Leo and Jermaine were caught in Walker County, Texas.
Oh, so they crossed the border.
They crossed the border, but wasn't good enough, man.
Do we know if they, like, hitchhiked? Did they take, the bus? Because I know one of them cats got caught on the bench at the bus stop, mm-hmm. didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He was in Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. I think Lopez he was in Baton Rouge where he got caught.
Dummy.
What you mean, dummy? He was trying to get out the state.
Get out of the town.
I mean, well, look. What you want to know? Just walk?
Figure something out.
He's trying. He did his best, Lopez. He did his best.
Now, what's his name? Antoine Massey, the kind of brains, the face tattoo guy.
Yeah.
No, you know what? Not him. I ain't thinking about him. I'm thinking about the other guy, Jermaine Donald.
Mm-hmm.
His grandma got arrested.
What?
His grandmother?
His grandma got arrested because she actually sent him some money when he was out on the loose.
Ah, aiding and abetting, huh?
Yeah, man. Free grandma.
How old was grandma?
Till it's backwards.
Old
enough to know better.
Yeah, I was about to say. She had to be at least in her 50s. Maybe 60s. She probably is in her 60s.
Yeah. But.
Man, free grandma, man. Oh, you got grandma caught up in this mess. Baby. Yeah, she's just trying to send that baby some money so he can get some
real
food.
Quick. That's Zell real quick, and all of a sudden now she got to go be
you know
in
they
there
can track those.
That's tough.
They can track that money.
Yeah, but that's the update right there. By the way, Antoine Messi, his dad was actually friends with Lil Wayne's dad back in the day. So it's a little connection, right? A little New Orleans connection.
All right.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so we got my man Seth Payne from Payne the Pendergast. He's on right now. What's up, man?
I'm out. I'm still escaped.
Yeah!
They're never catching on to me. Nobody will ever learn my true identity. Back in the day, it was a lot easier to get a fake social security number and ID, and I've still got them.
Apparently, it's tough right now.
He's got a dual personality.
The actual Seth Payne died in childbirth in 1974.
Childbirth is hilarious. Yeah. In my head, I went to he is pregnant.
Yeah. No, yeah. By the law, as far as the law knows, I'm a 70-year-old menstruating woman. Post-menstrual woman. Post-menstrual.
All right, Seth. Yeah. So we got you here. So what we used to do back in the day, or what you used to do back in the day, was break down some rap lyrics from a song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so I decided I wanted to bring this back.
Can I ask a question? Yeah. How did that come about originally, Seth?
It was Landry's idea.
Excellent.
I was struggling with the meaning of some quote that probably I don't know, some athlete had cryptically tweeted. So we just started breaking down rap lyrics.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. I was getting pretty good at it, but that was like three generations of slang ago. So I don't think this is going to go very well.
Okay.
Yeah. So this one, I don't know, this one might be a little more tough because this is a battle rapper by the name of, his name was Cannon the
Beast?
Yes. Cannon the Beast.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, CTB. Yeah. Big
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cannon mm-hmm. the Beast. And he was facing another guy by the name of The Cannon with a K. So Cannon the Beast versus The Cannon.
He's not making this easy on you.
Yeah.
So I kind of want everybody to kind of break this down. See what y'all think of this. So here's Cannon the Beast. Pretty much giving The Cannon some bars.
Yeah. It's a rap for your round and a rap for your round. I'll let a round rap around every rap around till it's rap around. This rap around. Cat, I'll rap around a round rap. I'll let a round rap around, round. How you gonna get around that? That's
wordplay. Yikes. Yeah, that was bad, right?
Yikes.
That was
I don't know if round got that many meanings.
So I wanted to see, Seth.
Sounded like a Beach Boys song almost. That was like he sampled the round, round, get around. Good. I give him extra credit for that.
Really? So can you try, or at least attempt? I don't think anybody can break this down unless you look up some lyrics or something like that. But can you try to break down what he was saying? Did you want me to play it again? You want me to play it again?
I just interpreted it as like he's going to wrap circles around him, the way he'd run circles around somebody. Is that
I'm good with that.
That's your answer? That's all y'all answers?
Yeah.
All right, so it's a guy by the name of Bill Collector who, I don't know if he's a battle rapper. He might be a battle rapper. But he actually broke down what all of these round lyrics had to say, and this is what he had to say.
In ATL, they call each other round. You know, they call each other slime, it's bull. They call each other round. So he said, it's a rap for you round, and a rap for your round. It's a rap for you round, and a rap for your round. I'll let a round rap around every rap around till it wraps around. I'll let a round rap around every rap around till it rap around. This wraps around. Cats, I rap around rap. I let the round rap around every rap around. How you gonna get around that? This rap around. Cat, I rap around a round rap. I let a round rap around round. How you gonna get around that? That's fire!
That is crazy, though.
I didn't realize it was fire. All right.
I didn't either.
That was a filibuster of an explanation.
Yes,
he lost himself somewhere in there. There's just too many. No, he lost track of which round he was talking. Were any of the rounds even ammunition?
That's what I was wondering.
Yes.
I think one of them were.
All right, well, he gets a plus for that.
Yeah.
All right, at least he tried to put some kind of edge to it.
Yeah, so this clip been going around for a little bit, by the way. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people...
See what you did there.
Yeah. Yeah, but it been going around for a little bit, and a lot of people feel like that was just so trash. Yeah. Like, what is this guy? Like, they feel like he's doing too much. Mm-hmm. Pretty much, we're all around and round, and they go round.
I feel like he was one round and rapped too far, because I was like, all right, I see you on the triple entendre here, and then you took it to another level, and I was like, actually, you lost me. Right? I was like, all right, you know, rapping around, old boy, and then you rap the round, and it's rap, I got you. And then I was like, all right, but what's the last one? I've lost you on the last rap around, so I can't get around that, I guess.
Yeah, so
yeah, this is like, I mean, like, if you want to do arcane, just kind of multiple references in each line and everything, you got to still be able to pull it off, right? Yes. Like, it's got to have some sense of... I realize sometimes things are like synchronized, except it's like intentionally asynchronous, and like, but you can still recognize that. Like, that was there was no rhythm to that, was there?
That was it. Was awkward as bulky.
Yeah.
Oh well,
yeah.
See what was happening here is this is a battle rap. So like battle rap, it's more just I am spitting poetry at your face in order to hurt your feelings in some ways.
So, all right. Yeah, that wasn't meant to be put to a standards beat. A little bit on that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
To me, I just feel like the people around there, it's no way in hell somebody around there understood that.
I agree.
Because usually, you know, battle raps and punchlines and stuff, you can kind of understand it if you following. I just don't understand. Mm-hmm. I just don't think people around there understood that.
Yeah.
Even people from the ATL, like myself.
Yeah. I know.
I was happy to hear somebody say fire. I didn't know fire was still a thing. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, people still say fire.
All right.
Hey, Seth, I want to keep you around for this last one right here. So I think the OG John Lopez need a rebrand.
What?
Yes, I think you need a rebrand. So here is a guy on social media pretty much giving the age criteria for what we should call people. So you got the OGs, you got the big bros and all that stuff. So he actually put an age bracket next to it.
Okay.
So I want to kind of see where we all fall with this, all right?
Little is from 8 to 14.
Okay.
YNs is from 15 to 25. Those are YNs. 26 to 35 34. That's big bro.
So Reggie, a big bro, right?
Oh, okay.
You a big bro?
I guess so.
Yeah.
All right.
36 to 44. That's Unk Nim.
All right, so I'm Unk now.
You're an
so
Unk.
I'm an Unk.
Yeah. All right, so you've reached Unk territory. Yeah. Congratulations. All right,
we're going to keep this going. We want to see where OG land.
45 to 55. That's OG now.
Oh.
Hey.
Oh. Right. So, I ain't trying to put your age out there, but are you?
Yeah, I'm 50.
All right,
yeah.
I'm
over 55.
So, all right, so Seth is the OG pretty much.
Yeah.
So he's
I feel like Unk should still be up a little bit higher.
I do too.
And that's why I don't associate with Unk being any younger necessarily than OG or anything, but I feel like you're not. A lot of times the advice you give when you're in your 30s is actually advice that you shouldn't, if you don't, especially if you don't have kids, you're not giving the right advice. So it takes until you're 45 or 50 or so, but I'll take OG, yeah.
Okay. All right, let's see where John Lopez lands.
That's OG. Nah. When you start getting into the 60s and 70s, respect your elders, folks.
You're an elder now.
So you're an elder.
All right.
The elder Lopez. Hey, elder John Lopez.
You want some of that elder sauce?
That sounds so much worse.
I don't think you're actually an elder until you start falling for phone scams.
Yeah.
That's once your kids are really worried about you falling for whatever the latest hoax is or something.
Yes.
That's when you're old. So
I
as
like
long
Seth
as you stay
better.
Yeah. I don't think you're susceptible to elder abuse just yet, John.
I do feel like the elders to me, if you having trouble walking around or you have a cane or something like
right.
that. To me, I feel like that's more of an elder.
Thank you. So we've established that.
Yeah, but you the elder now, man. No more OG for you.
Thank you, Elder John.
No.
Seth is the real OG.
No, he's
John
he's
the
also
elder.
He's also an OG. John. It can be more than one.
Congratulations, John.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It was nothing.
You're eligible to vote on college playoff seating
the
now.
The next spam call I get, I'm answering.
There you go. You
stop watching football for the next 2 years. Now you'll be a slam dunk.
All right, Seth. Appreciate you, bro.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. It's nice to be wanted.
Thanks. He fades away to the background. All right, there you go. Figgy's Mixtape, 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610 at the Figgy Fig. If you see something that you believe, that's Mixtape.
Real quick on the text line from the 832, pet peeve, hashtag 610. I can't stand Figgy Fig in this illiterate ass.
Okay.
Wow, that's right. Mean.
Salute to you, man.
That's mean.
I'm about to cry in the car.
I'm
going to cry when I get to the car.
Oh, no. Don't cry in the car. All right. Somebody said, when does he become Pops? I feel like Pops is specific to you having. No, nah, but I feel
not
like Pops should be in there somewhere.
They skipped one. See, I'm still the OG.
Slide everything up one spot.
Yeah.
And then, we can slide Pops in there somewhere. Okay. Don't call me Pops, though. I'll tell you that for damn sure.
Yeah.
Nobody's daddy. All right. Coming up next, we get ready to crosstalk with the fellas of the drive. But before we get there, is it possible that we can get rid of the scourge that was the only blemish on an incredible Western Conference Finals game last night? That's right. Fouling up three. We'll do that next.
All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us all day long. Getting ready to hand it off to the fellas of the drive here in a second. Appreciation to B. Scott for joining us in 11 o'clock hour. And also Seth Payne for hopping on with us during Figgy's Mixtape. Again, at the Figgy Fig on social media if you see something you believe is mixtape worthy. Somebody was like, when do you become Pops, though? And I feel like that is very much.
There were a couple of ones
that were specific.
Somebody
said, John is just a. Say school. I'm guessing old school.
Old school.
I'm guessing old school is what they're going for there.
Yeah.
And somebody said, I think 60 plus is OG and Unk together. Now, I feel like Unk is just a little bit below that. Anyways, I'll let y'all figure all that out. And also, Figgy, somebody from the 281 said apparently it was a high speed chase that got those fellas that crossed over and they were apprehended.
Oh, wow.
In Huntsville, which is hilarious because, I mean, obviously, I think that they're going to.
It's just right there.
I was
right
like,
there, yeah.
If you like, hey. Y'all want to send him back to Orleans Parish? We could just put him up.
We got a good one right here.
We could put him up right here. It's cool. All right. So we were talking about the NBA Western Conference Finals game that happened last night. Fantastic game. That saw OKC weather what was a really good push from the Minnesota Timberwolves. But, of course, it was just Shai Gilgeous-Alexander knocking down those difficult mid-range jumpers as he does. Jalen Williams did his own portion of that as well. And they got over. It was a really, really good game all the way through up until kind of the end where it got
eight free throws.
It got the people going because the the Thunder were up 3 when Minnesota had the basketball, and they did the thing that is logically right to do, which is foul up 3 points in order to force the Timberwolves to shoot the 2 free throws, mm-hmm. and then we got into foul game. We went up and down both ways doing the fouls until ultimately the game was over. And the conversation started up, and so I kind of wanted to ask you, one, do you think that this is something that needs to be changed? And two, if so, how do you fix it, right? Because I think, again, when you get to these games, one of the things about basketball is having, or not even just basketball, sports in general, a lot of the moments that we think about are these ones down at the very end of the game, right? Mm-hmm. Down at the very end of the game, having buzzer beater type moments, having moments that, you know, are you know, meaningful at a real boundary, mm-hmm. and it feels like that is taken away by what is a logical decision, right? Making sure that this team does not even have the opportunity to tie the game that you have, but then takes away that excitement, that fun. And this is where I always talk about the divergence of sports, where yeah. you have it as an entertainment product versus it as a competitive league. And so how do you view the opportunity of fouling up 3 and really kind of ending the fun, enthralling moment that could be there?
You're kind of asking the wrong person, but I know a lot of people are in the same boat as me. I find that somewhat entertaining. I find that very
the foul game.
Yeah. Well, the what should you do? What are they going to do? The guessing game, the strategic element of the final minutes and seconds of a game. So just generally speaking, that's enthralling to me. Is he making the right call? And to me, it always comes down to how much time is left on the clock, you know, because when they start doing it with too much time left on the clock, then I'm like, ooh, you know, but you start to second guess. That's what we do as fans. You know, forget the entertainment versus the, you know, the competitive nature of it. As fans, our best times talking about sports is either second guessing or agreeing with the call. And to me, there's a lot of entertainment to that. I get the frustration, but I like sort of thinking, what would you have done? What would I have done? You know, what should have been done, et cetera. Now, again, it does come down to if you do it in the final few seconds, it's a lot easier than it's a lot more understandable than if you do it with 40 seconds.
Yeah. We've seen some teams botch this. So yeah. I do think that is worth noting that portion of it is there's people that are like, no, you don't get to a place where mm-hmm. you kind of try and do anything to maneuver this. Cause like yeah. this feels like this is kind of the conversation that was had with the Tush Push, except for a different place. Mm-hmm. I feel like, and maybe you're making the argument that there is some excitement value in this. I think more people than not would say that this does hamper the entertainment value that they have of this. So maybe if the NBA wanted to be in the same place, a similar place the NFL was just not too long ago, bringing this up, on whether or not mm-hmm. they change this. And I know a lot of people are like, well, just don't be down 3 when you get to that point, which yeah. is kind of mirrors the just stop it. I could say that, you know, the tush push is more basketball than fouling in the way it is basketball. However, if you were to change it, how would you? Because I think that there's kind of conversations about what you do there. And I think it might be as simple as actually view it as an intentional foul and call it as such, maybe altering the intentional foul. Because currently, as the rule book has it, an intentional foul mm-hmm. is 2 foul shots plus retaining the basketball,
yeah.
which would be a lot. And that would leave a lot up to the discretion of the referees on what is intentional versus what
See,
is in the run
the
of
thing.
Play.
Yeah, that's the hard part. You know, if I go across your arms, you know, trying to steal the ball, is that an intentional foul or is that just a foul? You know, that's a tough interpretation. I mean, unless you slug somebody, you know, something like
right,
that.
Right, yeah.
but in, by and large, they will adapt to that. And I get that the entertainment value, you know, air quotes, is the last second shot or the last second block or whatever. But there's entertainment to me in the guy making both free throws and then you turn the ball over. That is drama. You know, that, oh, you know, and second guessing and all that. But in terms of, like, your question of what should you do, I think the only way you can do it is what you just talked about, and it's almost impossible to legislate. You know, like, what was that intentional? Should they get the ball also? You know?
Yeah, and that's the part right. that I come, because I feel like if you were to be able to legislate it, which is a big if mm-hmm. to start with, I think one shot in the ball does wonders there, because in that instance, if you foul up
then
3,
you still or go a lead,
right?
You, take
you,
a lead.
You put this in a place mm-hmm. where it's more viable, but then that then comes back to the question that we were talking about, which mm-hmm. is what, you know, how do you then determine if this was just, I was guarding you tough, and then that happened to be, you know, just a dead ball foul, or, you know, just a foul, a general foul, a common foul rather, compared to, you know, one of these fouls that's very clearly meant to try and put a player on the line in order to take away their opportunity to get a 3-point shot up.
Do you think there's a way to fix this? Because I don't. Not realistically, you know, where it would be easy for an official to see, you know, to make that call that you're talking about.
I feel like you could give it a try, but I don't know that it would work. I think there would be some unintended consequences on the other side of it that ultimately make it not as palatable as you want it to be. But still, I do want to acknowledge it does suck that you get to the end of a game that was enthralling, and all you want is just for a team to have a shot at, you know, knocking down a shot and ending it on the court in the same way that we kind of talk about, like the Elam ending as that was developed, an opportunity to see this game ended on the floor, to have this kind of, you know, within the bounds kind of tactic take away from the excitement of the way that the game ends, I think is a little frustrating. And it became a real flurry of a talking point last night.
No, it did. Last night was a good game to kind of launch this conversation, because it was 8 free throws in the final few seconds, if I'm correct. Remembering that correctly?
Right.
And that just lends itself to, oh boy, you know, how is that entertaining? Again, I find the should they, shouldn't they conversation and possibilities, you know, very entertaining. I'm actually, and maybe this is old school, maybe it's new school again, I don't know what. I actually think there should be one and ones in the NBA until you get to your
seven. That's a whole different conversation that we're talking about.
Because that stops the game. You know, you get 5 fouls in the first 6 minutes or whatever, all of a sudden they're shooting 2 free throws here, 2 free throws there. I think a more entertaining thing, if you want to go down the free throw route, one and one. You know, make them make both free throws, make the first one anyway.
Yeah, one more argument that I would throw up for the idea of, like, trying to curtail this, and I think we've established it's going to be hard to try and curtail this in the way that you want to, is I think when we talk about the ways that sports for TV and trying to make sure that it fits in what you're doing there, looking at the way that the foul game plays out near the end of the game, is are you getting to this place where you're extending out the game so long, and we talk about these, you know, stoppages that really make the game slow to a crawl. This is one of those instances where you slow the game to a crawl at the end in a way that feels unnatural to the, you know, the natural pace of the game, right? That feels different to what you were typically doing. From the 8-3-2, are you tailoring the rules to the specific situation or overall competitiveness and fairness? Don't we have situations where fouls at free throws end and tie the game? I mean, sure, but in this instance, you would be trying to get rid of something that is not speaking to, I know, the entertainment value of what you want for the game.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.